Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and before we bring our guest on this October 7th on the West Coast, or already October 8th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, got a couple of things I want to share with you. You may have been following this issue of the bailout, and I find it quite revealing that some of the numbers are starting to add up already. I have been saying on this show that this is not what it has been presented to be. Of course, the mainstream media is lying to us, as our government officials are lying. Representative Brad Sherman from the state of California stated that under threat of martial law, the lawmakers were forced to approve this bailout, and I'm spelling bail with two A's and no I. Those of you who know your Bible will understand the significance of that. It came out actually on October 1st, believe it or not, that 800 billion Amaros were shipped to China. The Amero is the currency that they plan on using. I say they, this cabal that's, this fascist cabal that's taking over our government and trying to form a North American Union between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And their intent is to crash the dollar by the end of the year to introduce this new currency, as if changing something made out of thin air with something else made out of thin air is going to make a difference. This is just insanity, and it's more theft and money laundering, as I have stated, and you should be outraged that this is going on. Now, what 800 billion Amaros actually equals is pretty interesting, but the U.S. debt obligation to China is estimated at a minimum to be $2.5 trillion. However, China kicked in $4.5 trillion, which Citibank is illegally holding. In fact, Citibank is holding $14 trillion, which happens to be $1.6 trillion over the $12.4 trillion deficit, which has been accrued under Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And these people cannot manage trillions of dollars, and why are we giving them more money? This is absolutely insane. You should be incensed to no end. Now, to make matters even juicier for these folks, AIG, which had received a total of $85 billion in this bailout, and AIG is an insurance company, and insurance companies are holding companies. They hold the money, they invest the money, and I would presume that they invested heavily in derivatives and hedge funds, in offshore accounts. And while these guys are stealing the money from us and running the country into the ground, and then getting bailed out under threat of martial law, these executives from AIG had the audacity to go to the St. Regis Resort at Monarch Beach, California, and spend $440,000 for a week, let's say, retreat for the executives at taxpayer expense. They spent somewhere near $200,000 in room charges, $150,000, that's 150, followed by three more zeros, on meals, and $23,000 in spa charges. This is absolutely unconscionable, and these people are before Congress now after the money has been given to them. It seems that everything is bass-ackwards here, if you get my meaning. It's just more insanity. Now, hopefully with tonight's guest, we're going to be able to shift past this and get to a place where we talk about some solutions for us, because as they're running the country into the ground, we're running out of food. Our health and our well-being is going to be under tremendous amount of stress. And you are going to be faced with issues. You think you have it bad now. Wait until you have no job. Wait until they steal the money out of your bank accounts. They're planning to shut down the banks. There's a rumor out that they're going to have a holiday, a bank holiday, like they don't get enough holidays as it is. And you'll find that after that bank holiday is finished and they reopen the banks, you won't have any money in your accounts. So let's pay attention to ourselves right now. Let's do some things that we can empower ourselves to do. And then we'll have the wherewithal and the means through which to do something about this. Because right now this country's lacking fortitude, and I'm speaking about intestinal fortitude. We're lacking guts, and people have to wake up. Enough of my rant for this evening. With that, I'm welcoming back a gentleman who has been on the show several times, and he is well known as a healer, an herbalist. He's a very accomplished musician and record producer, and he's no longer working for the big boys, but he's struck out on his own and actually performing with world-class musicians in the Los Angeles area. He is also a psychological kinesiologist, and we'll be talking about his work in that area and his work in herbology and his work even as a shaman. I welcome back to Evident Footprints this evening, Dr. B. Doc, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Oh, well, you can tell I'm fired up, but I'm okay.
We need to be fired up. That's when we get things done, when we get fired up, right?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Everybody's comfortable and they're in their comfort zone. They don't make any changes. Nothing happens. Some things have to happen to make us happen.
Yes. We get stagnant, don't we?
Yes, we do. We need a little excitement sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's interesting that, you know, when an emergency happens, we can do all kinds of things. When there's no emergency, we can't do much. It's like a person with a cold, a terrible flu. They can't even get out of the bed. They can't even get up to get some tea. And all of a sudden, the fire alarm goes off. They jump out the bed. They grab all their clothes. And sometimes they even grab some of their, you know, important items. And they run outside. You know, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That the person couldn't move because they were comfortable. They were sick. But when an emergency happens, you know, that's when we emerge. And there's emergencies happening all the time. We always need to be emerging. And you know, when we don't emerge and grow, we become stressed, we become depressed, we become lazy, we become complacent, and then we're easily controlled, like puppets.
Yes.
So I think what we're dealing right now with a lot is the stress. And whether this thing is happening in Washington and with the banks, and whether these things are happening or not, is kind of interesting. If you looked at it like this, if you lived in the woods and you had a little house, like a log cabin, and you didn't know anything about this, you wouldn't be stressed.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that stresses us about this information is that it's coming to us every single day, and we tune into it.
Yes.
Now, there's some of us who just check in once in a while to see how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us watch it constantly. You know, there's people who are watching CNN and all these stations constantly. Who's winning today? I mean, how can we know who's winning today? I mean, we haven't run the race totally. We haven't finished the race. But people are hanging on to Big Brother. You know, it's like, you know, Big Brother's got this big nipple that everybody drinks from. And, you know, we were told
oh
when the emergency, you know, we were told, you know, many times that they're not coming to get you. You know, if you're on your roof, you know, they're not coming to get you. So what we should be working on is ourselves.
Yeah.
We should be storing water. We should be making sure we have candles and the things that we need that are, that will keep us going even when things fall. The other thing we have to work on is stress and releasing the tension and the pressure and the buildup of cortisone and adrenaline and all of these hormones that are racing through our veins right now. Because otherwise, we won't be around.
Mm-hmm.
People are having heart attacks at a record rate. And this, you know, this is going to be, this is one of the most stressful seasons already because they call it cold and flu season. You know, I mean, they've named this season cold and flu season for a reason. It's because the idea gets in your head and you believe it because, you know, through cognitive dissonance, you have an authority figure telling you something. And even if it's wrong, if they tell you that enough times, you begin to believe it because they're an authority figure. So flu season made it in. I mean, we got tax season now, flu season, and we got the other four. So there's, what's that, six seasons now we have? So
yeah.
Now we got this election season. That's the seventh season on top of flu season, which is also on top of autumn. I often wonder why they put these things together like this. We have to vote on a certain day. It's got to be a certain day during the week. You know, because see, these people, they operate based on mathematics and vibration, just like you and
I
do. The difference is that they know exactly what these vibrations do. So if you drop a pebble in a lake, the ripples are going to go to the edges of the lake, to the shore, and then they're going to begin to come back. And then you get these interference waves where waves are hitting waves upon waves and making these multiple waves. Well, people are so tuned in to the waves that they can't tune into the natural waves of the universe, the natural waves of their body, the natural rhythms of their diet. Because while we're going through this stress, with three seasons on top of each other right now, people are eating like crazy. They're eating things they've never eaten. People are nervous. You know, you sit and you watch this stuff and you eat and you drink and you don't do anything because we get in fear, which is false evidence appearing real or false expectations appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful. And if you saw a lion on television, every cell in your body goes into a protection mode. Even though your conscious mind says, it's just a lion on television, your subconscious says, run for your life. So we're stressed from watching these television programs and not being able to do course correction in your head that this is not real. This is not really happening. So people are building up stress constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So every time they ring the bell, you know, they ring the bell every few, I mean, I remember Y2K when nothing happened. You know, people were, you know, I mean, my toilet was supposed to back up and drown me. You know, people were putting plastic bags over their houses. It was crazy. And nothing happened.
I hadn't heard that one.
Nothing happened.
Yes.
Nothing. I mean, they should have just blinked the lights for like an hour. Then people would have, you know what I mean, they would have been able to release the stress. People would scream and holler. Ah! Right?
Yeah, yeah. But well, they turned it into a cash cow for the computer industry. You know, they got everybody making plans to change their computer or buy new software. And all that was about a date problem in the computer. And whether or not that was even true or not is water under the bridge right now. It's like people are waiting for the next catastrophe. We're so conditioned to anticipate catastrophes happening. And, you noticed that at the beginning of the show how I did a rant. I got this out of my system. But I didn't spend much more time looking this stuff up than I did reading it at the beginning of the show. But to see what I already know is going to happen actually happen, and it's treated with kid gloves. It's treated like it's no big thing. It's no big issue. Now, we can play into it, but we're also watching society fall apart. Now, that may be a forerunner to something better on the way. But I look at it from the standpoint that if people were awake, this would not have to happen like this. You know,
well,
things
that's
would.
The thing.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing. Awake, aware.
Yes.
You know, some of us, we always plan for these type of things. We know it's going to happen. You know, if you're always planning ahead, then when it happens, you're not so surprised. You just, you know, you get into a mode where you start doing something. I say this is the season that we need to be cleansing. We need to be getting junk out of our houses. We need to be getting junk out of our lives. We need to be cleansing our bodies, our organs. We need to be throwing away paper. I mean, just as you called tonight, I mean, I got a big box of paper. All these letters and stuff that I got over the last year. I mean, why am I saving this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We got to throw stuff away because you can't take on more stuff if you've already got too much stuff. You got to empty out the old stuff to get some new stuff. You can't keep your old couch. If you're getting a whole new couch set, I guess you could because some people have 2-3 couches. You know, they cover one up with a rag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the old couch. We can't get rid of that. That's great-grandma's couch.
Or that goes in the studio.
That goes in the studio. Put that one in the studio. Grandma's couch is in the studio. Grandma didn't like this kind of music, you know, but her couch is in the studio. But one thing that you and I are able to do is we're able to play music, which relieves the stress. It puts us into a state of meditation. It puts us into a state of creation. Because in order to follow this system, you got to be a little too logical. And then we become too emotional all at the same time. Because trying to use logic on some stuff that's not logical creates emotion. I mean, you're like,
yes.
What the heck is going on here? Well, you got to turn it off. We'll know in a couple weeks who the president's going to be. And I don't know even if there is a such thing as a president. I don't even know who's really running the show. What I need to know is who am I going to vote for first? Myself. We have to vote for ourselves. Well, how do you vote for yourself? First, you realize that we've signed a lot of contracts. Some of them we knew we signed. Some of them didn't know we signed. Like the driver's license.
Yeah.
The driver's license is a contract. But most people have no idea that the contract that they signed is the penal code of that particular state. It's a huge book with all these laws in it. See, so we sign our name all the time. We agree that we're Catholic. We agree that we're a certain, you know, religion. We mm-hmm. we sign our name saying that we're Republicans or we're Democrats or we're vegetarians, I'm a vegan. You know, and we get into this thing where we become separate. You know, but we're within this group, and we have to vote and go along with whatever the group says. You know, the group does something wrong. We have to do it wrong, too, because we're part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
So part of cleansing is stepping out of all the groups and all the contracts that are not serving you, things that are not in alignment with you, because the cells of our body can only do one thing at a time. They either move towards growth, which is cell mitosis, and they make happy new cells, or they go into protection mode. When the cells go into protection mode, blood flow is diverted from the digestive tract and what we call the immune system, and it goes to the muscles. Well, people are stressed out every single day, so blood flow is going to the muscles every single day. Well, guess what? The immune system, which I'd rather call the defense system, shuts down. So people get sick. People are so sick right now, it's ridiculous. They have no idea. When you're sick, you have no idea who to vote for. You have no idea what to believe. You don't know if it's a rumor or not. You know, I think a sinner is a person that leads their life or follows the experiences of others. And we're getting to the point now where we have less and less experiences. I mean, this is the reason why people like love text messaging, because you don't have to experience the other person. You can just sit and think and put together something really poetic, and there's no real feeling. You know, you don't have to see the person and hear their voice, and you just, you know, let's be very impersonal. See, there's a division going on here on many levels so that we don't come together. when you haven't voted for yourself, which means you can't vote for your family, which means you can't possibly totally believe in God or a higher power. You say you do, but the subconscious says you don't because you haven't taken care of yourself.
Yeah, in light of what you're saying, if I can ask you something here.
Yes, sir.
You brought up the penal code or contracts, these contracts.
Yes.
And let's use that for an example. You have this dichotomy here where you were not aware of the reality of signing that contract. You know, it
exactly.
as a teenager, it was, well, I got to take this test and I got to answer some questions and I got to show that I know how to drive this vehicle, and then I sign on the dotted line, get my insurance, and obey the laws, and if I do that, I stay out of trouble. If not, I have to fork over some money. This contract is serving one side, and it's not serving the other side. Now, when we come to the realization, in other words, when we wake up and we realize that we have a choice, that we don't necessarily have to abide by that contract anymore. From the time that it becomes part of our awareness, at the point of our awakening, that we have been had. I'm being blunt with my use of the English language for the purpose of getting that point across. Now, the matrix or this paradigm that we're in has taught us to be conditioned to being under the control of that contract nonetheless. So now it becomes, with a lot of people, a fear of, well, now that I'm opting out of that contract, I'm breaking the law. Or the side that has created the contract, now deems it their prerogative to go after us for having violated that contract. In other words, the essence. In other words, if we're indignant about the fact that the contract exists and we choose now not to obey it, now these so-called rights are taken away from us. And this is one thing that keeps people in the matrix, is the fear of what happens if I challenge this? What happens if I stand on my own two feet and say, I don't choose this for myself? Any comment about that?
Well, you're exactly right. Let's take it from the penal code to a virus.
Okay.
We have contracts that we've signed saying that we believe in the virus. When in fact, if you look at viruses closely and follow the etymology, you get to a bunch of junk, little pieces of junk, garbage. These things technically cannot hurt you. The only way they can hurt you is if they find a way to get into your cell. If your cells are strong, if your body's defenses are ready to react at the drop of a hat or the drop of a dime or any impulse that comes into the body, if your body is at a very high potential for healing, then you cannot get that virus. And if you do get the virus, or if you do have this virus take over a group of your cells, you can quickly regain control over yourself. The same thing with bacteria. I mean, if you really look at it, technically we have all the bacteria and all the viruses there are really everywhere. They're in us. We're made of the same stuff. It's just energy. So when we are too stressed out, we can't even see that we have signed contracts that are not based in true laws, the laws of nature, the laws of the cosmos. Just like you were talking about the penal code. If you knew the law, then you could drive a vehicle or a conveyance. You have to change what it's called.
Yes.
And not have a driver's license, because a driver technically is a person who works to carry either goods or livery.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
This is technically. But when you are asked to get out of the vehicle because you don't have your driver's license, or you're in court because you didn't have your driver's license, if you knew the laws. If you, not your lawyer or your attorney, but if you knew the law, then they would have to let you go. But you'd have to know exactly what to say. The thing is that we don't study our bodies. We've got contracts with diseases like cancer and AIDS. We've got, you know, we've got these contracts, like they tell people when you go to Africa or you go to South America, you know, you're probably going to get malaria. The more you hear that, the more you open yourself up to get malaria. Because that's what your subconscious hears. Malaria. Malaria. You know, there's a story that, and I don't know how factual this is, but the concept is really, it's really clear to me. They say the indigenous people of this continent had never heard of smallpox. So when they were given these blankets that had smallpox in them, they didn't get it. And they couldn't believe it because the settlers were getting sick. And the indigenous people were not getting sick. And they say what happened was they got some indigenous person to believe in this thing called smallpox and told him all the symptoms. And he went home and scared his family. And that family scared the next family and the next family. And it went through the whole, you know, empire, just like that pebble dropping into the lake and making those waves. And suddenly, there was smallpox. Just like cancer. No one heard of it. I mean, cancer is new. AIDS is brand new. They tell you the symptoms. You keep hearing about what's going to happen? What happened to this person? And, oh, my God. And, you know, you don't even have experience with this. It's just that you believe, based on the information they've given you, because most people are not going to get up and do any research on their own, because most people are sitting, and they're very lazy, and they're complacent, and they've signed contracts with their couch. They've signed contracts with their text messaging. They've signed contracts with the newspaper and whoever else they're listening to at the time. They've got a contract with them. So they can't get deep into themselves because each day you can rewrite every contract with yourself. When you wake up in the morning, it's time to wake up and cancel some of these contracts. This way your body is in a high vibrational healing state at all times. And man, you and I, we're very, very fortunate because we use music as a medium to balance out the stress responses.
Yes.
Music is one of those things that crosses the conscious and the subconscious and the superconscious barriers. Because there's barriers between the three of those when we're not in alignment. But this transcends those vibrations, especially if, as you say, we're using, and Lynn Horowitz says, and many people say, if we're using the correct vibration, we can break the contract with the matrix.
Yes.
To heal from some of the diseases that are plaguing us, we have to break the contract and don't believe it. Don't go along. Don't be lie. You know, if you don't have true facts, actual facts, because actual facts are going to add up to mathematics. You know, a lot of this stuff is like fairy tales.
Yes. When you described the indigenous gentleman who was given this story, and then he went home and he told his family about this, they had already lowered his vibration, number one, telling him the story. But the key word was that word believe, which is a lower vibration than knowing.
Yes.
Or than being.
Yes.
Which is knowing in action.
And, you know, it's interesting, you know, I was playing last week at the, you know, place I play weekly, and I asked the guy on the keyboard to give me a D. So he plays a note D.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, is that a D? He said, yes.
That's a D.
I said, is that a D everywhere? I said, is the tuning the same everywhere? Or is that a D? Is it agreed everywhere on this planet that is a D? And he said, well, what are you talking about? I'm asking you a question. You know, is it? You know, can I tune the keyboard differently, and will D be in a different place? Where is D? Who created D? And why is it do, which is money in Latin?
Yeah.
You know, and you got money, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. I mean, why do we have cash, money, and commerce on both ends of the scale? We sign a contract with that. I mean, I thought that this do-re-mi thing came from some old story. I mean, I remember, I forgot, what was it? Do, a deer, a female deer. What was that from?
That's from the Sound of Music.
Yeah. I figured that's where they came up with that. No. This is a mathematical sequence that causes subservience. It's the same thing with illness and disease. There's mathematical sequences that keep hearing over and over. Cancer, you're going to get prostate cancer. You're going to get breast cancer. It's going to rain. People go out and buy all kind of rain gear. Newsman is very seldom right. But each person has their own way of dealing with things on their level. It depends on their contract.
Yes.
You've got
I'm so happy to hear you say this about that note, and that could be any note, actually. You're using that as a reference point, because I've been telling Dr. Horowitz that the tuning method, the universal tuning standard on this planet, 440 hertz, has been designed for creation of subservience. And to the almighty, we'll use the word dollar, but it's to dough, as you said. Doesn't matter what the currency is. That number 8, numerologically, that number 8, it represents financial gain or wealth, but its ultimate purpose is to who is behind the creation of that principle, not those who are doing it. So they turn us into good little worker bees or worker ants producing the gold by that frequency. Again, that's frequency control.
Frequency control oscillator. All I've got to do is keep that frequency, which is frequently. How often do I keep hitting people with this commercial? How often do I keep telling them that they've got this problem? You know, you've got to have this insurance. You've got to have this insurance. You have to have it. So, of course, the more you think about something, the more you attract it to yourself. The more you think about something that you think is going to hurt you, the more your subconscious is going to try to protect you from things that it thinks is dangerous to you.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, it may not be dangerous.
Yes. You know, there's a medicine, it's an herbal treatment for an enlarged prostate in men, of course. And one of the questions they use, now this is a product that's not sold by the run-of-the-mill pharmaceutical companies. It's a smaller company that advertises on the Patriot Network. And I won't mention the name of the product, but one of the questions they ask to get you thinking, you know, to get you to identify with what they're saying is, men, do you find yourself waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Or do you go to the bathroom to pee in the middle of the night? That I think that's how it was stated.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, no. If I was going to answer that and be a smart aleck, no, I just pee in bed. What kind of question, you know, it's the way the question is presented. What they mean is, do you find yourself waking up and needing to use the bathroom? But the way it's worded, if I took it literally, I have two options. I can either go to the bathroom to pee, or I can pee in bed. But we don't think it through that way. We don't really listen to what they're saying. We're following we're being pulled by a ring through our nose, and we're being led into that situation. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a problem with your prostate if you have to pee in the middle of the night.
Exactly.
You get up and you go to the bathroom.
You could have had a lot of watermelon that day.
Yeah, exactly. Or a lot of water.
You know, very interesting. You know, I have clients come to me, and sometimes they come with bags of medicine. And they say, Dr. B, and I tell them, I say, I'm not a medical doctor. My name is Doctor. That's my name. I'm not a doctor. But no, I want you to look at these medicines and tell me. I don't know anything about those medicines. I know they're inorganic, and you're organic. Now, if you think you can put those inorganic things in your organic body and, you know, fix the original problem, then good. But I do think they can, you know, mask the pain. I said, you know, I would try herbs. Well, Dr. B, I don't know if herbs work. Now, look, you've come to see Dr. B. You've walked in my office. And you heard me on the radio or wherever. You already know I do, you know, herbal medicine. why would you come here? And the reason I figured it out, they need me to sell them. They need me to do a song and dance. Because this is what people are used to, the song and dance. I have to convince somebody that herbs work. Well, herbs have been around forever. I mean, how did we make it, you know, 13 million years? Oh, did I say 13 million? How did we make it those 13 million years, you know, without modern medicine? Modern medicine still hasn't cured a disease. But we've got a contract with modern medicine. We've got a contract with the pharmacist. You know, we've got a contract with our medicine cabinets. Because you know you can run over there and get something out of that medicine cabinet. Even if it's 6 years old, I've got it. But your contract is not based on true mathematics because it doesn't work. It hasn't cured a disease yet. But yet, something that's been around that was put here by creation, which has been working, that some people have never been to a medical doctor. There's indigenous people all over this planet that this is how they live. They have a very poor, what we call a poor diet, which is a rich diet many times because they don't have so many choices, you know. And they take mm-hmm. the herbs. They eat the plants. If the seasons change, they cleanse with the seasons. I mean, come on. A dog is a better herbalist than we are. Dog gets sick. What's he do?
He goes out and eats grass.
Eat some grass. Cats do the same thing. They're herbalists. They know which grass to eat, too. They just don't eat grass. They got to make sure it's a certain type of grass. It's got to be maybe the grass sometimes with the yellow tips, which means it's high in sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting how we've agreed, and then we agree to disagree with something that's real. You see? So I think at this time we need to step back and take a breath. Look at what has worked over the last 10,000 years. What has worked? One thing that works is laughter. Music works. Diet, a good clean diet, or at least cleansing, you know, quarterly. Maybe even if it's only once a year. Cleansing, some people have never cleansed because they don't believe cleansing works. But they wash up. They wash their car. So when we take a rest, we rest the organs of our body. We should also rest from television, movies, and things that stress us. Maybe, you know, keep comedy and some great music. And that causes the body to relax for a minute so it can regain its strength. That's also the time to look over these contracts that we have with things in our lives and decide whether we want to keep agreeing with something that we have no true actual facts for. Like with this bailout thing. I don't know if it's actually happening or not. I don't know what's going on. I know what they're telling me. You know, it's like, you know, I walk in the voting booth and they have these little things for me to vote on and proposition whatever, and it's like four little lines. I don't know what that's about. Oh, I did hear a commercial on television. They said about a minute's worth of talk. You have no idea what this proposition is about and what it's going to affect unless you do some serious research. And you need to have your lawyer there and your tax accountant and all kinds of folks with you and your medical doctor. Take everybody down there. That's why I like Star Trek, because Captain Kirk's got everybody. He's got all the specialists, and the specialists don't speak on anything but what they specialize in. This is how you run a tight ship.
I've described the bailout, just to address that for a moment, as us giving the keys to the bank, to the robbers. Before, they were just breaking into the bank when the bank was closed. They were digging tunnels and, you know, like they do in the movies.
Yes,
now we've
exactly.
just given them the key, and they're doing it in broad daylight.
Well, you know,
that's the difference.
The question is are we going to bail ourselves out once again? Like I was saying, mm-hmm. are we going to vote for ourselves? Okay, all this is going on. This is, corruption has been going on probably since, you know, men first got here. Notice I said men. But
well, at least 13,000 years. Doc, we got to take a quick break here, but we're going to come right back. So hold that train of thought, if you would, okay?
Okay.
Folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Dr. B, and I will be right back, so don't go away. More to come.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Houston, we have a problem.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.
That's
to our second segment of Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Dr. B. Doc, I thought I'd play that for you. That's a cut from my forthcoming CD. It's called False Flag.
Wow.
And that's something I did just to let out my frustration about what was going on. You can see I got pretty wild with the horn riffs.
I knew it had to be you, man. I said, that's him playing that, man. I could tell. I could tell the way it was moving. That was nice. I like that. That's beautiful.
But it's trying to show that we understand what's going on, you know? It had a different energy, of course, than that day, that tragic day.
Yeah.
You know, there are things like what we experience on these massive scales that affect so many people's consciousness. And it has a residue, of course, and especially when we figure out what's going on, and those people that are masquerading as our leaders are pretending like we're crazy. You know what I mean? There's a lot of frustration that people go through when they realize the truth. And yet we're talking about going beyond that and just taking control of things ourselves. Eventually, the universe has a way of dealing with these issues. I think what people are looking for is to be able to see some results now, you know, while we're in these bodies, while we're living these life's experiences. And, you know, you're touching on many, many of the issues that affect us on a personal level, and yet collectively what we experience in these types of events, these false flag events and financial chaos and every kind of chaos, whether it's a school shooting or no food in the drugstores or the food that they have is tainted and poisoned. It seems like everywhere we turn, there's something out of whack. And it's those that are responsible for making this stuff right that are causing this. Give us some insight on how we can individually and then collectively take back control of our lives and our existence.
Well, first we need to spend a little time with ourselves and start doing some truth-telling about the things we really like, what really makes us joyful. You know, if fishing is something you really used to do and love, why don't you do it now?
Well, you know, I don't have time.
Well, you could create the time. Because time is something that was created. So you could create the time and space for that. Those things that help us relax, those things that take us out of the rat race. You see, there's a lot of people all over the world right now meditating and being very quiet. You know, there are people all over the world who are doing rituals and ceremonies, you know, to bring balance, because this is what it's about, is homeostasis. Mm-hmm. You know, like a sine wave, it goes, you know, positive, negative. You know, it's the same way our whole world works. It's positive, negative. Nothing ever happens exactly the same. But one thing is, if we cut a path and keep that path, you know, keep that path in our mind, even if we veer off of the path, get back on the path, work on getting on the path, because people fall off all the time. You get back on. You keep your eye on the sparrow. Keep your eye on the goal. If you have been cleansing for years and suddenly you hear all this stuff going on in the world, you keep cleansing. You see, parasites, which is my specialty, they every single day are keeping their eye on the goal. Their thing is to procreate. Their thing is to eat. Every single day, while we're worried and stressed, they are eating and procreating. When we go to church or we go to the club and we go out and do whatever we're doing, the parasites are focused on eating and procreating. And because we've given ourselves so many different drugs through food, you know, a lot of the foods are, you know, drugs masquerading as foods. You know, we strengthen some of these parasites. They mutate. And now they've become very strong. So this is why I wanted to put together a program that worked on the multidimensional and multivibrational array of energy that these parasites not only put out, but what they take in, because they're listening consciously. They're listening to every thought. Now, not as a word, but as a vibration. So if you wake up in the morning and say, you know, oh, God, I've got a pimple. Oh, God, there's no banks today. I mean, your vibration drops, so the parasites know today they can do more work because the tissue is not as strong. They also know that the defense system is not going to be working as well because we're in stress mode, you see? So at this particular time, sitting quietly, drinking lots of water, exercising, making love, you know, reading a good book, a good, you know, not some, you know, because there's enough. Right now, we don't even have to read science fiction books or watch science fiction movies. I do for fun because it's entertaining to me. But, you know, the world we live in is science. It's like science fiction. We're actually there now. But if you're able to put yourself in a relaxing state, then all of this stuff passes. And you can keep your wits about you. You can keep your health. You can become healthier. because while the whole mainstream is going one direction, you go the other direction. We should be apostates. Move away. Be crazy. Cracked away from the mainstream is what crazy means. Be lunatics. When everyone's asleep, maybe you should be up, creating. The other thing that we need to do is stay in that conscious vibration of creation. Always creating something new. Recreating our lives, doing something that's, you know, artful. A lot of folks used to do something when they were young, and then you talk to them when they're older, and they say they don't do it anymore. Well, I got children. Well, you can do it with your children. If you're creative, you have to stay creative. Otherwise, you become stiff. You become inflexible. This is why so many people have arthritis, because they're inflexible. They don't change. They're still stuck. Whatever they believed in 20 years ago, they still believe in now, even though they see evident footprints that things are changing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, I was just going to make a quick comment here. I had someone ask me, how do you do this research that you do without stressing out? And I have to tell you, it's the purpose for which I do it that has everything to do with the fact that I don't stress out. Actually, I get excited about what I discover. So there's an anticipation of creating or finding something new and then making sense out of it.
Exactly.
And I'll say to my friend, let's make a comparison here. You misplace your car keys. What do you go through until you find them? Well, man, I mean, it depends where I lose them or how I've lost them or what time of day it is. If I'm on my way to work and I'm late and I'm this and I'm that, I get all bent out of shape. I'll start screaming. I'll throw things around. I look through everything. And I say, you know, if I researched that way, I would not enjoy it. I would not discover the things that I discover because I'm reacting to a situation that I'm responsible for. And I would suggest that you get in the habit of putting your keys someplace. Think long enough when you enter your home, because usually the house key is attached to the car keys, right? So the last thing somebody's going to do with those keys before they walk in the house is unlock the door, if it's locked. Now, where do you put your keys? Have a place to put them and know that they'll always be there when you go looking for them. If everything you do is just a random act and it has no sense to it, it has no purpose, no order, and I'm not saying you have to be anal about it. You know, you don't have to be compulsive about it. Just your issue is you can never find your car keys, and it stresses you out. It's a reflection. If the car keys can upset you, what happens if it's your wedding ring or your wallet or that important report that you did over the weekend that you've got to have in at 9 o'clock in the morning at the office? People don't they don't look at the things that really matter with enough clarity is one thing, but I think just enough foresight as to if I don't do this, what's going to happen down the road? We don't choose or we don't make the choices, and when we do, we become upset with the fact that we are responsible, and there's sort of a denial going on there, you know what I mean, over a simple thing like misplacing your car keys. Where are they? Who took them? You know, that's usually the question somebody will ask. And I think in terms of research and discovering things that have been hidden, it could be much, much more stressful, but I don't get stressed out. I get closer to the goal, and I can actually measure where I am in this research. And if it's for an article, I get to a point where I say, you know, I could probably add 1,000 more little nuggets of information to this, but it's overkill. The point is made when I can connect all the dots that are there before me. And when it makes some sense, especially when we're talking about someone's genealogy or who they are. You know, they want to lead the country and they're not from this country. That's an issue.
You know, it's interesting, you know, you're talking about the keys, the car keys, right?
Yeah.
Ka is what the Nubians call the spirit. They divided the spirit from the soul. The soul was like source energy. spirit was more what, you know, what animated you, closer to your personality. So ka keys, keys to your spirit, keys to who you truly are. Like you say, you need to put the keys to the car somewhere where you know where they are. Know where your spirit is, who you truly are. And don't let someone else convince you that you're not who you truly are. You know, if an emotion comes up, really look at that emotion and see, well, is this really me? Is this my parents? Is this my community? You know, did a terrorist come to my house, you know, and blow up my house? I mean, what happened? Do I really know what happened here? And once you understand where your car keys are, then you can stay present. Because you have to stay present in the moment. See, that's the now. That's the if you take now and turn it around, you get one.
Mm-hmm.
You win, or you won in the moment, because you're not carrying the garbage or the luggage from the mysteries, which is the future. People are carrying luggage from the future. They didn't happen yet. They got bags packed. You know, and people are carrying the luggage from history. And they keep telling you history repeats itself. Well, history doesn't repeat itself. It's always different. It looks like it's the same type scenario, but once you look at the true mathematics of it, it's different every single time. But that was always drilled into my head. History repeats itself. Somebody told me what jazz was and what music had to be jazz. Well, they may have just heard the music that you played and say, oh, that's not jazz. I don't know what that is. You know, he, like this one guy, you know, he was working with us and we were doing all this acoustic music. And then I got out my synthesizer to put this synthesizer line on the music. And he stops and he says, oh, I can't work with you guys anymore. I only do acoustic music and you're playing a synthesizer and that's not a real instrument. Well, we got to be very careful here. Because things like jazz are creative palettes where we can be truly creative in the moment and respond based on a certain theme.
Spontaneously,
It's spontaneously. Well, your life has a certain theme. Your body has a certain rhythm. And if you know you eat something and it's making you sick, why would you keep eating it? People keep eating it. And then all of a sudden they say, well, it doesn't make me sick anymore. Well, actually what you've done is you've turned down your sensitivity to it. It's still doing all the damage it's doing, but the body can't keep responding to you doing damage to it. You see? So when you're doing things like these quarterly, you know, like the Parasite Cleanse program, you know, it helps you stay focused on your ka keys, the keys to your spirit, the keys to who you really are, because you're cleaning off all those receptors in the body that, like all these little antennas that have their they're raised for drama. We're always listening for drama. We don't trust anybody because, you know, and we know you're lying because I lie. You know, we lie. We're just a lying country. That's the culture here. No, it doesn't have to be that way. 5% of the people are always going to be the true righteous teachers or the poor righteous teachers. They're going to be the ones who are looking at the true changes, the nutritional changes, the changes that will change us, the changes that feed us, not things that destroy us. So parasites, there's physical parasites, the ones that live in your body. There's interdimensional parasites. There's mental parasites. Then there's these people who are in your pocket all the time and controlling your what you call your government. So we have to cleanse. And this is why the cleanse that we have now, I feel, is the one of the best cleanses on the planet. Because we address the liver, and the liver and the kidneys we both address. And they harbor or they hold on to the vibration of fear and anger. So many people are fearful of things that haven't happened, and they're angry about things they don't even know. Because they just saw it on television, and they're angry. They weren't there. They don't know all the facts. And they're angry about their parents and the way they were raised, and they're angry about this and that. Well, when you begin to clean the liver and the kidneys, some of that anger and fear begins to break down. And your body begins to digest it. When you clean your digestive tract, you stop holding on to the vibration that says, I need more, I need more, I need more. Because the buildup of gunk in your stomach and in your digestive tract causes you to want more, because it feels like, hey, we haven't eaten, because it can't digest it. The walls of the colon and the walls of the intestinal tract are coated with this black. It's like tar. Once you remove that plaque, once you begin to dig that stuff out, you begin to see a whole other light. You become a light bearer. You can pick up more light from the universe, which is information. You cannot react. You know, you can think, you know, clearly before you react. You can think five times before you speak or before you make a move or a judgment. We can see clearly. And at that point, we're voting for ourselves. You know, if you can, go to elevationtime.com. Just go to elevationtime.com and just look at the website. Just look. There's things in the website that says, calm down. You know, there's ways that you can put information out and put love out that's very subtle. Very subtle. Because we can't just yell and scream our way anymore into, you know, the kingdom of heaven. You can't wish and pray your way into the kingdom of heaven. You got to do some work. And each person has their own kingdom of heaven. Now, some people, you know, they don't realize how dumb the king is. They're talking about the kingdom. They're the queendom. So
yeah.
You have got to elect yourself and put yourself in the seat and say, you know, I'm ready to clear, cleanse. I'm ready to cancel, cut, and delete, and clear, and break some of these contracts. Because this is exactly what's happening in America today and all over the world. The contracts are being broken. These huge corporations that we thought were so stable, now we're seeing that it's like the Wizard of Oz. It's a little man behind the curtain. You see? So this is the time when we should become strong. So, oh, I see now. You know, the lies are so clear now. I mean, it's like a joke. The news is like a joke. They're showing the scene from one thing and talking about something else. They don't even realize they're showing the wrong scene. You know? And, you know, it's just, it gets ridiculous. Once you see clearly, then you can walk a path. Because once you get in the woods where there's no path, then you've got to cut a path or just be lost. And watch out for snakes and spiders, because you're off the path.
Yeah.
And now you're in survival mode.
What you just suggested that people do, I recommend too. I've been to your site many times and just spent time looking at all the things that you've got there. And it does calm you down. I've even incorporated things like that on my site. But, you know, I've got a lot of heavy research articles and things that other people are writing and things that expand your consciousness and really challenge this belief system. And I've got animals. I've got animal pictures and animal videos, and people have asked me, why do you put that up there? I mean, you've got such heavy research. It's a way to balance it. I've got some music up there. You know, I've got my archives up there that people can tune in and listen to shows like this one tonight. But I refer to the animals as maybe some of our best teachers, because they don't speak. They just be. And they get along. They show us these rare ways where they can communicate with us or communicate with each other on a totally different level. And they haven't created all these problems. They don't need to be bailed out. As long as we provide for their basic needs, we get unconditional love from them, unconditional trust, and you may even get a bodyguard if you get the right animal. So it's there. You know, I've got photographs that people can look and use their imagination. I've got artwork. I've got inspirational materials. Books that people have written, you know, ways, sources of valuable information. Now, a lot of people go to the photographs and they go to the videos, and that's fine. That's why they're there. I'm happy if they visit everything on the site, but nobody's going to do that. Everybody's interests are different. The point is that I'm offering, like you're suggesting, alternatives to this other stuff, and at least on my own site. With all the negativity that I deal with, there are some solutions and there are some other perspectives that we can consider in realizing who we are.
Well, so, you know, the key word is that homeostasis, that balance, you know, that harmony.
Yes.
And, you know, I say people should do yoga or tai chi or meditation or martial arts or go for a walk or just go to the park and just sit on the grass or, you know, if you've got a, you know, pet that you really love, you know, sit with your pet, look the pet in the eyes. I mean, you know, the animals, they don't react like we do. They don't have fear. The only animals that have fear are the domesticated animals. because they've been bred with fear in the system. That's why they got to come home and eat, because, you know, they can't protect themselves. They've been created. But the natural animals, they don't live in fear. Now, they are ready to fight or flight if need be, if the threat is strong enough. They know how to protect themselves. They're connected to the cosmos. They're aware. And we all have to stay aware. You know, I'm not saying that we should all just, you know, sit here and not do something. We should do something all the time, but make sure that what we do is balanced. If you ate garbage all year, it's time to cleanse. And you know, if you listen to the news, and this is one thing I really hear on the news lately, because it's in the background a lot, I perk up when they mention parasites. But they don't always call them parasites. But every week now on the news, they mention another parasite, something eating us, something devouring us. And they're letting us know little keys that can actually help us unlock our health. Because our health has been locked down. It's been controlled by the health system, the AMA. I mean, there's certain words I can't even say on the air right now, certain things that my products do that I cannot say. You know, I can't mention them because, you know, somebody owns those words. Somebody owns those references. Or, you know, they're protecting their situation, their chemicals. You see? But if we take a step back right now, be clear. Drink some water. Go for a walk. You know? Get a massage. Fill up your tub with 5 cups of salt and lavender oil and nut, you know, maybe 20 drops of lavender oil, and just fill it with hot water. Hot water. Magnesium is the number one deficiency on the planet. What does magnesium affect? Every function of the body. Every body needs magnesium, and most people aren't getting it. And it affects your nervous system right away. Things get you upset. You're ready to just go out and do crazy things based on something you heard. You don't even have the evidence. You need magnesium. Magnesium is like a magnet. See, the magnesium pulls other minerals into it and into the blood. You can take calcium and iron all day long. If you don't have enough magnesium, then you can't bind it. It doesn't stick. In fact, that calcium, people are taking out too much calcium now because they heard they needed calcium for strong bones. But they didn't hear that they needed magnesium to make that calcium work. Mm-hmm. Magnesium. This is like the mother of all minerals. And, you know, the magnesium capsules that people are taking, most of them are garbage. Most of them are garbage because you're just going to have expensive urine. Your body can't even break these minerals down for the most part. You know, you get some of it, but it's why not get it in a way where you're going to get it all? Transdermal magnesium. You rub it on your skin. You can bathe in it, put it in your bathtub. It's magnesium chloride. Has to be magnesium chloride. It brings the blood pressure down. You know, this is the first thing they give people when they're having a heart attack. They inject magnesium into the system right away.
Mm-hmm.
If your blood pressure was really high, they give you a drip of magnesium. This is preventive medicine. But they don't give you the preventive medicine until there's an emergency. But you could be taking the preventive medicine all the time.
Yeah.
Transdermal magnesium is one of the things that can take us totally out of the stress vibration. It relaxes all the muscles. It relaxes the heart, the kidneys. It relaxes the mind. It's incredible. And also, it's responsible for all the hormonal changes, you know, taking, you know, what we call the healthy fats, the good fats, vegetable oils. It helps to convert them into all the natural hormones we need. Because we keep hearing about people going through hormonal changes. Well, first we need vegetable oils in our bodies, which the liver and magnesium help to make into all the proper hormones. So you see, so people don't have to go through these, you know, serious mood swings and, you know, and fits of anger. I mean, hormones are messengers. They're chemical messengers. Each day we kill the messenger. You say, well, who's killing the messenger? I wouldn't kill a messenger. Well, what'd you eat today? You see, the average person is going to name a bunch of foods that kills the messengers.
That's the first thing they do, too, when the truth comes out. They go after the messenger.
Yeah.
You know?
They got to hang them up. They're going to hang them on the cross.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
But our food, you know, it kills the messengers within us. There's messengers within us. And, You know, you need light. You need the right kind of light energy hitting your body. And if you've got food that is sucking all the light up because it's denatured, it's processed, then the light is never going to receive, you know, be received by yourself. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So magnesium is extremely important. And we do have this new transdermal magnesium, and I'm talking about it a lot because it's the most incredible thing I've seen. It's one thing that you could do to change everything. And another thing is the subatomic iodine. You know, iodine is antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral. It runs the thyroid and all, and most of your glands. And you know, Don, you know where iodine is stored? In the breast, uterus, and prostate, and the thyroid. These are the number one types of cancers. Why do we have cancer in those particular organs so much? It's because of the lack of magnesium, the right magnesium. Mm-hmm. People who live around the equator and places like that, who swim in these, you know, these waters, they are high in magnesium, or places where there's a lot of volcanic activity, because that magnesium is being stirred up in that water. But for the most part, we're not getting enough magnesium because the Earth is a ball. And the centrifugal force pulls all the rivers towards the equator. So all those minerals are going towards the equators. You know, all the runoff from all of the farms, oh, my God, because some of this runoff is toxic, you know, in America and other countries too. But it all goes towards the equator. But the equator has a way of changing things. It has a way, because there's two different energy flows that are opposing each other, almost like a figure eight at the equator. So interesting things happen. There's alchemy going on there, you know. This is why, you know, we know that this fruit fly couldn't have flew from Egypt to what do you fly to, what's the park in New York?
Central Park?
Central Park, you know, this mosquito, you know, with the West Nile virus. He flew all the way across the equator from Africa. They can only live like 7 days, you know. But he flew, he made it, and bit a pigeon. It's like the African guy that had sex with lonely, his girlfriend left him, and he had sex with a monkey. Created AIDS. I mean, this stuff is crazy.
I remember when I was in California, I was in Burbank, in fact, and they were spraying Burbank with malathion. If you remember, they had the Mediterranean fruit fly.
Yes.
Now, that was a farce. I had, you know, the only fruit flies I saw in my garden were the ones that they were releasing. They had created a homosexual fruit fly. Their reasoning was, and they were painting one wing pink and the other blue. This is how you could tell what the fruit fly was. Somebody was actually doing this. Somebody was painting these fruit flies with this iridescent paint. And they released these by the thousands on the community, and then they sprayed malathion. Now, when they sprayed the malathion, they didn't tell you, you better cover your car. It ate through the paint on cars, and it was eating holes in people's roofs and going into their swimming pools and, you know, on all their vegetation. The madness. Now, I had written a letter to the L.A. Times and said that that this idea was brilliant, and it adds a whole new meaning to the name fruit fly. They had reasoned that if they made all male fruit flies, they would try to mate with each other and therefore wouldn't impregnate the females. The madness.
Crazy.
And I don't even know if that's still going on around Los Angeles, but it went on for years.
Well, they just found two, what do they call them, oriental fruit flies this week. They found two. Somewhere, so they're spraying right now with melathion again. Some, I forgot which county it was. They found two. I mean, you're out looking for two fruit flies. They found two, and they knew right away. Look at those fruit flies. They're Asian. Oh, they're no, they didn't call them Asian. They said they were Oriental fruit flies. This is on the news. I'm like, this is really crazy, man. You could lose your mind if you don't laugh at it. If you don't laugh and say, you know, this is really a joke. You know. You have to laugh at this whole thing and let it out. It's not as real as you think. This, in fact, tonight, I bet there's only special people listening to this show tonight. Because most people are, they're going over what, you know, who won the debate. Who won? Who won, my friends? Who won? You don't know who won. Who do you think won?
It's a matter, and the bottom line is, it's who lied the best. Who is
who
the most convincing
best?
Liar?
Yeah, this is what you got to do. This is the thing now. It's not about what you're going to do. It's about trying to make the other person look bad. No, it's about getting ourselves in a place where we can spiral and be spiritual and grow and change, because this is a wonderful opportunity. If you look at the gas thing, I mean, this gas thing got so crazy that all of a sudden now there's all kind of alternative fuels popping up. If we didn't have the gas crisis, you know, there wouldn't be any alternative fuels. We'd just drain the earth dry, you know what I mean? And then, yeah. You know, when it's all gone, we look for, you know, another way. The same thing with the banks and the whole government. If it didn't get crazy, it wouldn't change. We're moving fast towards this 2012. The quickening is happening.
Yeah.
We are there. The full light of supernova 1987A, which is this green light that is hitting the earth now, and we're moving through the photon band, and we're in the Venus transit. So many things are happening at one time that are working for us. It's going to be a little uncomfortable because we got to get out of our comfort zone. Some of these things we've gotten, you know, used to having, we're not going to have.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, we don't need it. We don't need it. Health care, we need a health care plan. Force people to take drugs. You got to take drugs. I mean, they got babies. They're giving in baby formula now. They're putting, what's that, aspartame. Aspartame is one of the most, it killed all the rats.
It's rat poison,
We killed. We used to try to kill rats back east. We'd hit them with a brick, and they'd be flat. We'd come back 10 minutes later, and he's gone. But you mean to tell me you gave him a couple drops of this stuff, this artificial sweetener, and they died? They went to rat heaven. I mean, this is really, it just blows my mind. And you don't wonder why your children are saying Chuck E. Cheese before they can say Mommy and Daddy.
Or
because
McDonald's.
Because they're being programmed by these foods.
Yeah.
And the parents are ushering it in. I mean, they take them to the, you know, to the legions of doom and, you know, Mommy, Mommy, I want that Captain Crunch. These are not even cereals. These are candies. And then we wonder why the children have ADD and ADHD and why the, you know, some people have Alzheimer's and some people got sometimers. And I mean, it gets ridiculous. It's because there is a change happening, and those who are the sheeple, when the sheep herder comes and raises his staff, they're all going to get in the truck. But there's always a couple sheep that don't get in the truck.
And the irony here, Doc, is that all of this is based upon chasing a dream of acquiring something that's made out of thin air. Money.
Nothing.
An illusion.
I was watching a show. They said a $1 million bill, and they showed one. They said it's worth 4 cents. A $100 bill is worth 4 cents. A $1 bill is only worth 4 cents. That's what it takes to make it. You know, these medicines are worth nothing. They're nothing. Hey, look at this. They tell you to take an aspirin if you got high blood pressure, heart disease, to thin the blood. Do you know the type of aspirin that they used in the test that did lower blood pressure? You know what kind it was? It was called a bufferin. A bufferin is half aspirin, and it's buffered with magnesium. So they took away the aspirin and just gave the people magnesium and got the same results. Well, people are taking an aspirin every day. They're not taking a bufferin. They're not taking magnesium. They didn't get this report because magnesium is too cheap. You can get that anywhere. People don't do the research. Before we take these drugs, before we sign these contracts, we have to do some research, especially if we've got a family and we love them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're going to feed your family, I mean, read the labels. Something starts with an X and ends with a number. You have no idea what it is. Give this to your children? Like baby oil. I mean, baby oil is motor oil, what they call mineral oil. It's the same stuff you put in your car. Save your money. Just get some motor oil and rub it on the child. But you wouldn't do that because it doesn't have the right label on it. It's got to have the right label. I bought this up at Rite Aid. Really?
Well, you Rite know, Aid, so you, many, you brought up a great point there. You mentioned the letter X, and it is on everything. They used to spell it EX, but now they just put the X. And X has been for quite some time the symbol for Satan. Now, you've got the Xbox and the X Games and the ex-wife and the ex-husband and, you know, all you Xmas and just everything that's being presented to us now has this letter X, and it's being driven into our subconscious, this acceptance of all of these perversions, as if this is some kind of a fad, but if you don't go along with it, you're not hip. You know, you're not with the times. You're not keeping up with the Joneses.
With the fashion.
And you want to comment on that?
Yes, you're not in fashion. You're not in step.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a comment. From my point of view, I wouldn't say, for me, that X represents Satan. To me, it represents the unknown. And you could drop anything in this place of mystery. You know, we don't know what they mean. You know, an X-ray. We don't know what the heck an X-ray is. We still don't really know what it is.
What's their term?
It is an intersection between two lines. You know what I'm saying? And it can cause a short, or it can be where you have two energies coming together to make a new energy. So I think that X is being used for the good in some and for the bad in others. Like if I say, you know, well, X marks the spot. Well, it's not necessarily disagreeable. But you're right when you say the way they're using it. They decide to use things based on banking and war. It's all about commerce, and that's war.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big war machine. You see?
Yeah. So when they spray the chemtrails, you notice they'll put X's in the sky.
Yeah, they scare the heck out of it.
Yeah, what would be the purpose other than, you know, their little ritual? But we mention this not to be in fear of it, but just to recognize what they're doing.
Well, you know,
they're telling us.
As soon as I see a chemtrail, my response is, I decide that they can't hurt me. I don't have fear of them. You could actually make cigarette smoke move away from you. There's people that can do this. You can change the energy around your body. You can take cancer cells and reverse them. They've got a game now for children called Remission. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
It's called Remission. It all started when they had this one child who had brain cancer. They gave him 6 months to live, and this was around the Pac-Man days. And the child just said, you know, the only thing I want before I die is, you know, Pac-Man. So the parents changed the child's diet. They went to a vegetarian diet, and they studied a few herbs, and they bought the child Pac-Man, and the child played Pac-Man daily. He was supposed to die in 6 months. Well, 9 months later, they take him back to the doctor. The doctor's astonished that he's alive. Because, you know, the doctor doesn't check because he's not coming to your funeral. He's not even going to send you a card. But that's another story. But they started doing a little research, and they found that he didn't have a brain cancer and brain tumor anymore. So they asked the parents, what the heck is going on? What did you do? They said, well, we just changed his diet, and we moved and changed his surroundings. They changed his environment, and we bought him Pac-Man. Why don't you talk to him? So they asked the child, well, what happened to the tumor? He says, well, I used Pac-Man to eat it away. He mentally and spiritually took control of him, of his life. Everyone had given up. Sometimes giving up is cool when everyone gives up on you. You can rewrite history now. They gave up on me. Well, good. Some of the people in the hospital, the most healthy people there, they say are the ones in a coma because people basically can't communicate. They don't communicate. They come out healthier than they did, you know, when they went in. But this game, Remission, now is a new game. It's about a year or two old now. And they're giving it to children who have cancer. And the response that they're seeing is phenomenal. How just playing this game, and in the game, it's eating away the cancer. You play this game daily. It's a video game. It actually transponds to the body because the body is listening to the mind. Your thoughts become physical things. You see? So how do we go into remission? By focusing on healing, by focusing on love. is we got enough hate and enough war going on. And there's enough, you know, if you want to read reports, there's all kinds of reports. But after you read those reports, after you listen to that news broadcast, after you do that research, you've got to burn off the cortisol. You've got to take your body into a healing vibration. Otherwise, it's going to stress you out. And then who wins? All of these companies that we're talking about and all these people, these evildoers, they win. Because they know all they got to say is boo enough times and scare the heck out of you. Some of these organizations that we used to talk about were controlling us don't even exist. I don't even know if there's a government right now. I really don't.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I don't know who's running the show. I think nobody's there. I mean, how could they be?
Well,
no one's home, but things are running. You know, the cities and the states are running, but, you know, what about the Fed? I mean, what the hell is going on? These are supposed to be the most intelligent people in the world. So you know this thing is on purpose. There's a reason for everything. You've got to see the person with their pants down before you see what they're really about. When you start seeing the government with their pants down and they're doing some really bad shenanigans, then you need to stop and look at your life. What am I doing? What shenanigans have I done? Have I cleansed from that meal that I ate on Thanksgiving? Because, you know, the weekend after Thanksgiving is the number one weekend of death on the planet. People die because they eat more garbage than they ever ate, and they're around people they don't want to be around. Just because they're your family doesn't mean you have to be around them. You see? And then the weekend after Christmas, they say between Christmas and Thanksgiving is the next number one week or time of death. Monday morning, number one time of death. Right after vacation, going back to work, number one time of death. Why? Stress. We're all stressed and burnt out. We forget how to laugh. We forget how to feel good. You know, one thing one of my friends, Dick Gregory, very, very powerful man, an activist and an herbalist himself, who he was told he had a year to live. He had lymphoma. And, you know, Dick Gregory marched with Martin Luther King, and he's been an activist in America for a long time. Very funny man. And he did a lecture, and people started asking him questions about his cancer. And he said, listen, don't be putting cancer on me. I don't have cancer. They said that I had cancer. I haven't agreed with that. And I am doing the work to heal. Please don't put death on me. Do not murder me. The man no longer has cancer.
Isn't it interesting, Doc, how some of the best comedians that ever walked the face of the earth were also very big on showing us the truth. They used humor to an extent, but they became very serious. Dick Gregory being one, Bill Cosby being another one, a very successful as a comedian, very original type of comedy, causing us to reflect on our childhood and things that we forgot, but with a wholesomeness. And then I'm thinking of now. I just lost his name for a moment.
Chris Rock,
the white guy.
The white guy.
George Carlin.
Oh yes.
George Carlin was an excellent political humor or satirist, we could say. But really, he showed us life. He showed us the error in our thinking. He showed us how to think outside the box and not to accept things at face value, because he could take something they said and just tear it apart, dissect it into a million pieces and have you laughing at each piece and show you how insane it is.
I remember when he said that Joe Pesci was God to him because he takes his trash cans in when he's out of town. He says he does something. He's like God. I was like, wow, this guy's really good. But, you know, Dick Gregory came to see me one time, and he said, hey, man, B, your lecture tonight was really good, man. He says, I see you're really wound up and you're upset. And I was like, you know, in militant mode. I was really upset with the government and, you know, the New World Order and the Masons. I was naming the Illuminati, the reptilians. He said, you know something? He said, one of two things is going to happen to you. They're either going to kill you or you're going to die from stress. Put comedy back in to your information. And it goes in through the right side of the brain as entertainment. And the left side can pick up all the information easier. He says, always keep comedy and jokes and laughter as part of your pill. The pill that you give, you can't make it too serious. Because I had gotten very serious. And I used to always be really funny. It was like a comedy show, but it was talking about a lot of, you know, important information that people, you know, didn't know commonly. So he told me, he says, man, you got to stay funny. Keep laughing. Keep people laughing. And he says, as a comedian, you can say anything. You can say anything. It's just a joke. He's a clown. Who's going to believe him? And that's why I think a lot of the comedians have been very powerful in giving us pertinent information about where we are as a people. And as a people, I think we're in a beautiful place. You know, I think that we had to go through all this. And we finally come out of that 6,000 years of darkness. You know, we're out of that. You know, we're still a little funky. You know, we still got the vapors of the 6,000 years around us. But even that will die off. I mean, a lot of these people who were the ones who were stuck in the old ways and, you know, very condescending in their thought and the way they look at the world, and they're dying. They're out of here. We got a whole new group of people taking over now. You know, so we have to be flexible and not carry the past into the present.
Yeah.
Let's be open, you know.
There's a frequency that we haven't mentioned, and I don't point this out in a condescending way. Neither one of us mentioned it tonight up to this point. And that's the frequency of love. And if we look at the totality of creation, if for those out there that wonder if there's a God, or you have to look at how much order there is to everything that exists, and it can't be an accident that it's affected by laws on a multidimensional scale. And depending where you are, at what level, what vibration you are in that, within that creation, you are going to be experiencing things according to the laws that keep that order there. And the one essence that permeates all levels of multidimensionality is love. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. I think love is the vibration that just vibrates naturally from things, that, like a flower. You don't have to fall in love with a flower. You know, you just look at it, and it's beautiful, and you just automatically radiate to your higher self just by looking at a flower. And within all of us, there is that true original self, which is not caught up in these worldly things. And once we are able to reach down and pull that love up and have true unconditional love for all people, even those who we feel have hurt us, like, I think people like Bush and the Cheneys and all of them, we need to send them some love. These people are sick. These people are imperfect. They got problems. They got issues. I mean, the reason why they want to do what they're doing is because they got issues. And we need to realize that they got issues, and we don't want to, you know, elect somebody else who's got more issues. But sometimes we've got more. Sometimes we vote with the person that's got the most issues because we've got those same issues. We relate with them. He's crazy, I'm crazy too, I feel the same way. You know, nobody wants to change anything, but once we put love in the middle of the room, it can enlighten the darkest room. You can have one little candlestick of love, and the darkest room will be illuminated. And conversely, if you go into a room which is lit with love, it's illuminated, and you walk in with your shadow of darkness, of pain, of hatred, that shadow contains itself. It still can't overcome the love. It can't overcome the light. It's going to contain itself. It stays in one place right behind you. It's stuck to you. And this is what we're seeing now. This darkness is stuck to those who are guilty of not following the laws. There are natural laws, and we've broken a lot of them. But I think that, you know, you're on it with this vibration of love, because that's going to, no matter what, love is going to be the thing that finds the way. Love is going to carry us over that bridge. We have to have love, even for those who have done us wrong. We have to forgive them for their imperfections. You know, they've got a certain way they've seen things based on how they lived, based on their environment, based on the foods that they ate. based on where they lived and what they were told and who taught them. You know, sometimes people, they change. And they have a sudden, you know, shift in consciousness. And some of the people who you feel are your enemies are going to shift. And we should, you know, we got to keep one eye open now. Keep one eye open. I'm not saying close both eyes. But we're going to see people shift, especially around the time when they get towards the end of their lives. Now they feel like, oh, I did all this wrong. Let me do this. I don't want to go to hell. Because they've created this hell, too.
Mm-hmm.
But love,
well,
life vibrating endlessly and effortlessly. Love.
And I think we have to be cautious or careful to identify the source of the love, because we've learned to love the material or the physical, and that's got validity in an experiential world. But even Jesus himself said the love of money is the root of all evil. It's an excessive or a compulsion to love money, which feeds the ego. It feeds the false self. It perpetuates the illusion. Or the love of power over others. These are not the higher vibrations of
exactly.
Love.
You know, there's another saying that they say, it's better to give than to receive. But the actual statement was not, it's better to give than to receive. It was better to be in a position to give than in a position to only receive. You see, things have just been twisted a little.
Yeah.
Love is a thing that has been twisted. And if you watch, you know, your television program, they show you how cheap love is. You know, how people just lie and cheat. I mean, almost every show, it's about money and it's about cheating. It's about lying. You see, so most people don't even know what love is. They have no idea what love is.
Yeah.
You know, we did a seminar, and actually it was a lecture, and I never got to lecture because at the first 5 minutes I asked, you know, what is love? And we were there for maybe 5 hours, and no one could agree on what love was. So here we are in relationships, and we have two people who both say they love each other. Neither one of them knows what the heck they're talking about. They haven't really broken this thing down. You see? You know, we haven't really had the love like you and I. You and I could meet right now on the stage. You and I and a couple other great musicians, and we would have instantaneous love for each other. And we would listen to each other. We'd have respect. You know, I at this place I play with on Thursdays, you know, we do two sets, you know, jazz. And then there's jam session. And musicians come from all over the jam. And they come trying to show off how many notes they can hit and how fast they can play. And
mm-hmm.
how they can do all these little tricks with the instrument. But
yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm not hearing love. It's not making me feel good. It's just making me say, oh, wow, he really did tricks. He blew fire out of his horn. You know, he blew fire, man. Did you see that? Fire came out of his horn. I mean, it's cheap, these tricks. You know what I mean? What about, okay, if you can do tricks and you can still feed the soul and you can still take me someplace and do some alchemy, you know, take me from one state to another state, take me from my world and take me to a new dimension, you see? But this is the way we are now. It's tricks. Look at the presidential race. It's all about the tricks.
Yeah.
Tricks, 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 tricks. Tricks are for kids. Kids are goats. Goats don't even do tricks, you know. But, you know, rabbits don't do tricks. You know, Mickey Mouse is, you know, mice. You know, we got a little mouse sometimes. We have this mouse in our office, you know. We thought it was one. Now we found out it's four, you know. And we find out they don't do what the rabbits do on television. I mean, the mice do on television. They're not like Mickey Mouse. You know, they're here to do a job. They're focused.
Yeah.
But we put these personalities on things. And then we put this spin on it. And then we put this personality and this spin on love. You know, I can't stop eating my chocolate cake, Dr. B. I love my chocolate cake. Well, you have a condition that is affected by chocolate. Chocolate feeds your condition. You know, I'm not saying chocolate is bad for everyone. I'm saying for you. Well, Dr. B, I'm still going to eat my chocolate. Now, can you give me some herbs that can, you know, help me? No, because you're still doing the prop. You're still doing the thing that got you in the place you're in. This is insanity. You're expecting something to change, but yet you keep doing the same thing. This is insanity. No, I don't have an herb that can stop you from, you know, from having the effects or the symptoms of eating too much chocolate or coffee or cigarettes or cocaine. I mean, there's people, you know, they want to buy some herbs to cover up the symptoms of cocaine.
You know, I want to be able to go to work. I got a test coming up. You got some herbs?
I want to give me something I can smoke. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't have it. But, yes, love. You know, love is the only thing that shines in all the darkness. And when Babylon falls.
Your musical example of the musicians that play so many notes. I mean, there's a certain time and a moment where that type of exhilaration is appropriate. But
exactly.
One note played in the correct space can actually deliver all that love you're saying is missing.
Exactly.
That's the whole key to mastering not just the instrument or not just music, but the art of communication with the other musicians.
Look at the musicians and the singers that would just hold one note.
Yeah.
And people would start screaming, going crazy. One pure, beautiful, loving note. You know, if I can help one person, if one person comes to me and gets healthy, I'm successful. I do notice that probably only 5% of the people that come to me actually get well. And you know why? They don't follow the protocol. They want to do it the way they want to do it. You know,
well, they're looking for that magic pill, aren't they?
And I don't have it.
Yeah.
There are some incredible herbs. You know, a lot of the herbs that I use, some people have never even heard of them because they're not at, you know, your GNCs or they're not at the, you know, the drugstore. You know, we get stuff from the rainforest, you know, in Africa and Brazil and places where they've got things that have been working for a long time. And, you know, we've got some very effective, efficient products. We use the very best material that we can find. We try to get as much organic material as we can. And the process that we put our tonics and things together with, it's all about love. It's all about caring, and it's about pulsing, and it's about vibration, and it's about magnetism, and crystals, and sounds, and light. We do a lot to make one formula. It's because we are not, you know, we're not into this just for the income. Even though we do want to be, you know, paid for our time, but we're into it because we want to help people so that people can go out and be very successful. People can be rich. People can be abundant and be great receivers, you see. So to do that, it takes time and it takes focus. And you have to weather the storm. It's going to be stormy. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. America is seeing things it never saw. But, you know, you tell somebody that, you know, 400 years ago who's on a slave boat on the way here, that America is going to be rough in America one day. Well, wait, what do you mean? What's going on with me right now? You know, the people that were slaughtered and killed and people that were, you know, the things that were done to steal this place. It's ridiculous for us to say we've got so much humility now and so much love and so much morals. This is a stolen place. It's occupied. And then, you know, we're down with people who occupy. You know, we occupy this place. We'll be down with you. You're occupying that place. You know, we're all about occupancy.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Well,
oh, and it trickles down to the local level, too, doesn't it? I mean, you got the hood. This is my
exactly
turf.
Where I'm going.
Yeah.
This is exactly where I'm going. It's my turf. This is my religion. Like the lady kept telling me about was her Jesus. She mentioned her Jesus 5 times. Her Jesus. She's got her own personal Jesus. I'm like, well, can I meet him? I mean, I want to meet the guy. Can you call him? He'll take my cell phone. She's like, oh, come on, Dr. B, stop joking. You got your own personal Jesus. Can I meet him? I mean, I want some of that, what you're getting, because it seems like you're doing pretty good, you know, having your own Jesus that nobody else can even be involved with. You know, this is occupancy. This is ownership.
Yeah.
If people own my car, my this. You know, I know a guy who was really happy to get his Hummer. He got his Hummer just before the gas thing went crazy. And he drove over here to the studio and he played some tracks. He was so proud. He kept looking out the window at his Hummer and says, hey, man, God, this is a great car, man. One of the best cars ever made. Now, he doesn't drive the Hummer anymore. Now he hates the Hummer. Ah, man, I hate that car, man. It's a gas guzzler. It's this, it's that. Hey, man, you just got the car 8 months ago, 9 months ago, just before prices got too crazy. You loved it. Now prices of gas are crazy, and you hate the car. This is a problem. You see, it's not the car. It's you. It's your choices. You know, you had to have something new. Your other car did great. It carried your keyboards, had no problem. But you needed this new flashy thing that was on sale. You know, and everything's always on sale. I don't know what the big deal is. The for sale sign or on sale sign just means they're selling it.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy into it. So once again, I say, we got to break contracts. You know, the music business, we had to break a lot of contracts. The record companies were ripping us off. We weren't getting any money, and they're keeping us on contract. You got to do one or the other. If you're going to keep us on contract, pay us. If you're not going to pay us, well, we're going to walk. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And get a new contract with yourself. You know? Get a new contract with love. Get a contract with this radio station. Keep your, you know, stay on this dial. Stay right here because, you know, it's going to be little radio stations like this that are the revolution. You know, this is a revolutionary thing we do here. This is change.
Yeah.
You know, by being able to talk like this and be free. I mean, it really makes me feel funny. I've even mentioned some name brands tonight, things like that. I can't do that when I do mainstream radio because they spank me and they yell at me and they mute me and they cut me up and dissect me and edit me. But it's good to be able to say the truth, you know. And I commend you for the work that you're doing, you know, the work with music and vibration and awakening people to things that they never even knew. Because it's time to rise and shine, and it's going to be people like you that carry the, you know, the ribbon, people like you that carry the gold and the torch that are going to, you know, enlighten that dark room, because we're going to need to know what to do next. And all we need to do is hear your horn. You can play a couple notes that could change everything. And I notice with the horn, you can tune in between all of those different frequencies because it's flexible.
Yeah. Well, I can do it with my synth, too, which is kind of neat. One thing, you know, I want to talk about what you do, Doc, other than, I mean, that's coming through in your show. And you know, if it weren't for guests like yourself, my show would just be me, and it could be a very boring experience for the listening audience. But I appreciate what you're saying, and I want to honor what you do. You give lectures, you teach classes on site in Los Angeles at a physical location. You're not just some guy that's got a website. People can actually come and see you and interact with you, talk with you. You're a musician. You have recorded some great music. We haven't played any tonight. I think the next time we have you on, which is on the 27th, I'd like to spend some time playing your music and having you talk about it, too. I mean, the music speaks for itself, but there's a meaning. It's like the music that I do in the healing arts is intended to relieve that stress you're talking about, to help people focus, to help them find themselves, to touch a part of them that's maybe asleep or maybe out of sync. And it's something, it's a place for them to escape, to find themselves, to get away from the humdrum of every day. And I know that what you do, and I've heard, actually, the person who recommended you as a guest, Renee in Torrance, spoke very highly of your work, and I had come across a few things on the web where your name was mentioned, and as I got into your music, and boy, I want to hop on a plane and, you know, bring a couple of instruments and come out and jam. That's just hearing you talk makes me want to do that, because I know that that's a spiritual experience. It's not about glitz and glamour and flashy lights. It's about the art form and what it does to the soul. And I know that your products, you sell right on site there. You do ship your products also, and
yes.
And these are very unique products that a lot of people have dabbled in, you know, based on what they hear on mainstream media or read in the magazines or maybe on another radio show. There's a lot of stuff out there that has people confused, you know. So I think I hear this from people all the time. They kind of feel like they're the pinball that never quite comes back down to the bottom of the tray, you know. and they can't get a handle on things. What makes what you do unique, in your own words?
Well, because I am a person who was very sick myself, and basically they gave me a very short time to live, and I had to help myself. I had to, you know, make a choice to either heal or die. And I found herbal medicine, and I studied with several people, from Native American medicine people to African medicine people, from, you know, people from Europe, people from India, and I just studied to heal myself. And within a year, most of my incurable diseases were gone, because I had, you know, kidney disease, heart disease, all kinds of stuff, man. It was, you know, stress from the music business. Even though I was making a lot of money, I wasn't happy. I wasn't, you know, controlling my life. I wasn't, you know, honoring my own true spirit and who, you know, who the true unfoldment of me, who it really was that needed to unfold from that true unfoldment. So I got into herbal medicine to help myself and started researching and became a researcher and found out a lot of things about natural health and about why people are sick. So I started a company called Soul Proprietorship, Own Your Own Soul, and started selling herbal teas and putting together packages for people. Very different combinations that I use. I'm into energetic medicine a lot. Sometimes I'll use an herb, not based on what they say it does, but based on the energy that I feel coming from it. So I'm intuitive in that way. And, you know, I came up with products and came across this parasite issue. You know, I had an experience in the Bermuda Triangle, and we'll have to talk about that at another time. And basically, coming out of that, I realized that some of what we call alien creatures are these little parasites. And they're very intelligent creatures. And I put together a, you know, herbal regimen, 28-day herbal regimen for parasites, and became very successful with that. Began to travel and started doing lectures and going to colleges and traveling and, you know, using a lot of fun and comedy and satire and jokes and all of that stuff, along with my way of lecturing, made it fun, you know. And at one point they were saying that I was the number one parasite killer in the country, because I look at parasites totally differently. And a lot of the products on the market, they really only kill the weak parasites and make the strong ones stronger. I haven't seen anything on the market. People talk about the black walnut hulls and the cloves and the wormwood, and they still got worms because they're, you know, these things only work on the digestive tract, but there's parasites in the eyes. You can see them. They look like little floaters floating by your eyes. And there's the liver flukes, and there's pancreatic fluke worms, which a lot of people who have diabetes have. And there's even a parasite that lives on cocaine called ascaragus. And most people who have done cocaine, even if they've done it years and years ago, they still have this parasite. So I specialize in parasites and have a 28-day regimen called the Total Body Paracleanse Program. Works on all the different organs of the body at one time. Because we realize that almost every disease is either caused by a parasite, or parasites are in the place where the disease is and the body can't heal because it makes a swamp. So, you know, we have that, you know, that program, which is still our number one selling product since 1996. And then in the last couple years, I started getting into the subconscious mind and came across a technique called Psyche, and ended up developing from that something called subconscious alignment technology, which gets your conscious thoughts to be in alignment with your subconscious programs or beliefs. Because your subconscious is basically a tape recorder that records everything you smell, taste, touch. All your senses are recorded, but your subconscious doesn't speak. But it does keep you breathing. And it keeps you even, you know, when you don't even remember getting home. You just got there. It was like on automatic. So the subconscious is on automatic. So there's a lot of issues and things that have happened in our lives that the subconscious is still, you know, playing over and over in our heads. And see, the subconscious doesn't know time. The subconscious is basically in the moment, you know, where our conscious mind knows time. The subconscious is playing back those tapes in the moment as if those issues that happened many, many years ago are happening now. And a lot of those issues limit us. And some of those issues make us sick, like the belief in cancer. You know, we have to, you know, how could you have cancer for 4 years when you got all new soft tissues in 2 years? And they say there's a cancer gene, but once you start, you're studying epigenetics, you realize that this cancer gene is not, it's not based in science. There was a theory. You know, we have cancerous thoughts, and we eat a lot of acidic foods, and we live an acidic life, and that causes a lot of the cancer and disease. And we've been very successful with helping people through nutrition and balancing the brain or the mind become very healthy and very powerful and very rich. You know, I've been fortunate, and I've helped 7 people become multimillionaires by following my program, you know. You're going to have to cleanse the body, the mind, and the spirit to create that true harmonic vibration, which is going to be, you know, love with deep within you to create new healthy organs. And it's the love vibration. So I do a lot of things, and I still produce music. I do medicine music, healing music, we call it. Mm-hmm. And I work with some people. I've even worked with NDIRE on her last album. And I have two songs that I have on India's newest album coming up. One of them is featuring Keb Mo, the number one blues artist in the world, who's one of my dear friends and great guitar player. And also George Duke, one of the greatest keyboard players ever to live on this planet. So
he's one of my favorite, if not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
It's interesting that you said at the beginning of this, they gave you a short time to live.
Yes.
As if, and I'm just analyzing what you said, not to be overly analytical here, just they gave you, as if they have some special dispensation to allot you that amount of time. And I think we buy into that, but you took it to the next level, and you turned to what God gave you, and you did it through the gifts that God gave you.
Well, you know, I noticed when they said this, you know, and I was brought up Christian. Mm-hmm. And I noticed they didn't have a Bible when they told me this. They didn't have no Bhagavad Gita. They had no Quran. They had no Torah. They had no beads. They had no rosaries. There wasn't even a cross on the wall. These people had no spiritual, and they looked at me like I was an insect. You know what I mean? And I felt like an insect.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized what they were giving me was what they wanted to give me. And I noticed that my insurance had just run out, too. This was like one of my last visits, and all my great, you know, insurance was gone, and they say, you're out of here. Go die. So you have to make choices, you know, and live your life. You got to go for it. You got to go for it. No matter what they tell you, you have to live. You got to do what you do. Either get busy living or get busy dying. One or the other. Get out of the way. You know, I see the earth going through a great cleansing. And I see even me having to change the rhythm that I have. I've got to change the way I'm doing things because it's a new world. You know, I used to tell everybody they had to be vegetarians or they were going to die. Well, that's not totally so. Because not everybody is healthy with a true vegetarian diet or a vegan diet or a raw diet. Each person is different. I've had to change my point of view. You have to be open and willing to change and grow, you know. Now we just know that, hey, every time the seasons change, you have to do some kind of cleanse. You have to. Otherwise, you're compromising your health. You're not getting the best out of your life. You see, you're tarnishing the gold that you were given when you came here.
Yeah. Now, what are your opinions about fasting? You know, many of the religious works talk about it, and I do know that it is a valid way to cleanse the body, but it's not the same process that you're talking about. And I think it's more of a spiritual experience than anything else. What are your feelings about that?
I think it's good because your body gets a chance to take a break from using most of its energy to digest food, and it begins to eat up a lot of the inferior matter. you know, a lot of the toxic buildup that, you know, we've got. And it's a good way. It just depends on how you fast. Now, I say that we should first do a parasite cleanse for at least 28 days, you know, full moon cycle. Then go into whatever kind of fast that you're going to go into, because remember, parasites fast too. You're not going to kill a parasite just because you're fasting, because they're parasites. They live a life mm-hmm. beside you. You're fasting, they're fasting too, or they're eating your organs. So let's kill them first, you know, at least get them to a very low population where they can't do much harm, then fast. Some people fast the wrong way. They come off the fast too quickly. Some do fast that are a little radical based on their health. So I think we have to look at a person's health and see where they are and find out what a person can do. And a lot of times, you know, fasting might just be stopping from a certain type of food. Like maybe just do vegetables and fruit. That's a fast. Or just fruit. That's a fast. Or, you know, just do liquids, juices. That's a mm-hmm. fast. You know, or stop, you know, if you, let's say you're always eating snacks. Just fast on the snacks. No snacks. But it is a true spiritual experience to change the rhythm like that, you know, and shift everything, because now the body gets a chance to rest or have a grace period. Mm-hmm. And that grace period causes the information from the universe to actually begin to sink in. And you can hear. You can hear better. You can feel better. You can see better. You become intuitive. Some people say they become telepathic. A lot of people who do my Total Body Paracleanse program say they become telepathic. Their whole lives change. The stories that I've heard since 1996 that people come to us with that have done our Total Body Paracleanse program, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And if these are people who have done all other kinds of cleanses, this is not your natural cleanse. This is a fast from a lot of things. And also, I put music in there. Now, when I say I put music in there, yes, we did put musical vibrations into the herbs when we put together the tonics.
Mm-hmm.
But it's music when you do it, because there's a rhythm. I tell you how to do these herbs. There's a certain time of day, and there's a certain amount of drops, and I increase the drops over a 60-day period. It's music. It's a dance that
yeah.
the parasites can't figure out, because they're used to your old habits. You just changed up your whole situation. You know? Like we used to, well, we used to play gigs, and, you know, we used to play gigs in places where they didn't really want us, and we seemed like we had to get out of town quickly. And we would never drive home the same way. And we would go around the block several times, I mean, and double back and go all, you know, this is like security. You know, it's the same thing with the body. You got to change up. You can't do things exactly the same all the time.
Yeah.
Give your body a chance to rest and relax from the monotony and that rhythm that may not be the natural rhythm of the natural order of things.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm listening to you, and what's going through my mind is most people consider a parasite to be something that feeds off the body, which they do. But with all this eating that they're doing, there's got to be some digestive process going on. So you're going to have some kind of toxicity secreted from the parasites, as well as all this procreation that's going on. There's got to be extra toxins beyond what we think the parasites in and of themselves, let's say in the leaching process, you know, them feeding off of the body that's going on. Have you gone into that as well? You know, the study of that.
Exactly. We've gone deep into that, and just think of the excrement,
mm-hmm.
the poo poo and the pee pee. We call it parasite poop and parasite peep. They're pooping and peeping inside of you all the day. They eat the good stuff, and then you get the waste, and you get all the hormonal changes that they go through. And some of these things molt and they change and they have these cysts and they, like cocoons and things that they go into for a certain amount of time. And the body is just toxic with all this stuff. It's amazing we're alive. And there's more parasites today than there ever was, because there are also man-made parasites. There's parasites that were part of genetic experiments. There was parasites that were used in South Africa, which were genetic-specific parasites to try to wipe people out. You know, and these things got loose. You know, it's all kinds of stuff. It's got loose. You know, in Connecticut at Yale, they have this East Hill and this West Hill. On one of these hills, they have a big fence around this whole hill. You can't go in this whole area. It's like maybe 10 square miles. And they say all the genetic experiments are loose. And there's people who have, you know, climbed over the fences and never come back. This is in New Haven, Connecticut. They've never come back. They say people disappear when they go in this fence. Because there's stuff that was made. They're making stuff now that they figure, yeah, it didn't work. They just poured down a drain. I mean, this drain is the water that we're receiving because they just try to clean it up a little bit and give it back to us. Yeah, so parasites cause all kinds of problems in the body by eating the organs and, you know, and they we don't get a chance to cleanse out the internal body from all the toxic stuff.
Now, you say it's good to use a little bit of comedy once in a while. Are you saying that these parasites hanging out there at Yale are hiding in the bushes?
Well, no one sees them. You know what's funny? People who live near this place.
I wonder how many people got that.
Yeah. People who live near this area in Yale, they talk about how first they hear people laughing and playing and, you know, having fun inside this fence. And then all of a sudden they hear these wild screams and then they hear these unhumanly sounds. I'm like, man, what is going on? But we had a friend who didn't believe it. And he jumped the fence, and we never saw this guy again. Now, what I'm saying is that there's things that have been created through what we call science or Franken-science, you know, that is really, really way out. So there's a lot of stuff that was created, and some is like bacteria. You know, there's friendly bacteria. Those are the ones that help you digest food. There's the, you know, the unfriendly bacteria, you know, the ones who will create acid in the system. In fact, a lot of people don't know Acidophilus is a acid-forming bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And Acidophilus is needed only when you're sick. If you take Acidophilus when you're not sick,
it'll make you sick.
Too much acid in your system and create sickness. And there's a product that we have now called Flora 9, which has 30 friendly bacteria that come from humic acid. The most incredible thing in it. It's interesting. They found this in the gut of the healthiest people in the world. They all have these 30 friendly bacteria. And not one of them is Acidophilus or L. bifidus or the rest of them that are made from lactic acid, which is rotten milk.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And there's a lot of things out there that are coming through right now that are out there. And, you know, I go to a lot of the conventions and I listen to a lot of the new products. And a lot of the new products are made by the drug companies. You know, they call them nutraceuticals.
Yeah,
there's a lot of different electrical items they've got out now. You know, they say, well, this is the Royal Rife machine. Well, no, it's not a Royal Rife machine because the Royal Rife machine, you know, he used sine waves. He used, you know, analog frequencies to do the healing work that he did. And these people are using digital square waves and sawtooth waves and, you know, waves that have been, you know, created, you know, just to, you know, represent ones and zeros. And you can't tell me that that does the same thing in the body.
Yeah.
It's based on the concept of Royal Rife, but you've played it differently. You've played that song different. That sounds kind of like, you know what I mean, Moon River, but it sounds more like Sun Mountain than Moon River.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we change things. And, you know, so a lot of the technology that's coming out that they're calling holistic is garbage. I'm into the old stuff.
Yeah.
Really old.
I agree with you wholeheartedly in that. And you know, with synthesis, it can still be done in the same manner because a sine wave is a sine wave.
That's right.
And you know, you can, I've got tone generators that I can adjust, and I can get hundreds of frequencies playing at the same time with these. I've done experimentation. And you pick the wrong waveform, and it grates against every aspect of your being. You know that that those frequencies coming through that wave and the types of harmonics they create, and you know the cycles may match, but the waveform is what does the damage. You've got these sharp angles and points, and for those that don't understand what we're talking about, it would be the difference between you holding the shaft of a screwdriver in between your fingers or a serrated knife used for cutting bread.
It's
very different, and they those frequencies have the tendency to do the same thing to you, to your whole makeup, really. I think on every level.
Well, you know, these are the things that, you know, we come to understand, and the more people that awaken, and this is a time when people are waking up in record numbers. People are really waking up, and even though they want to keep saying how bad things are, in order for things to be this bad, they've also got to be really good. Otherwise, this whole thing would just stop.
Mm-hmm.
So the world would just stop turning. So, you know, one door closes, another one opens. You know, somebody's hitting one note, somebody's hitting a different note. Anytime you hear a whole bunch of lies, there's a whole bunch of truth going on. In fact, most of the lies come from truth. You see, a really good lie has got some truth in it. You know, so we are in a great time when we have the internet, you know, we have internet radio, we have digital cameras, you know, we've got a lot of technology that can be used very well right now for, you know, for our own healing and our own, you know, advancement. People all over the world are communicating now on the internet. I don't know if they knew this was going to happen. I don't know if they knew what was going to happen when people got hold of samplers in music. I don't know if they knew what was going to happen when DJs took records and began to scratch records. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they created a whole art form based on, you know, this is a guy that's got nothing but a turntable. He's got one turntable, and he wants to be different. And he begins to create rhythms with the scratching of a record. Who would
And
thought?
He may not even like the record if he played it. You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah, you know? He just
but it works for the scratching.
Rhythm.
Yeah.
It works. And a lot of people say, well, Dr. B, you were involved in rap music, and don't you think that was really negative? No. It was rap music. It was talking. I mean, even though it got to a point where most of the rap that, you know, became commercial was negative, but that's always the case. The most commercial music is negative. Underground jazz is where it's at. Underground rap. Underground rock. It's always the underground where you have that freedom. You know, anytime mm-hmm. the underground is the mainstream, it's usually very commercial. It's about money. So rap itself
yeah.
wasn't negative. It was the mainstream rap that was, you know, all about commerce.
Yeah.
You see, it got a little strained and still is to me. I mean, what are they talking about? I don't know what they're talking about now. But it was an art form that was created out of the frustration or out of the creativity of people who had nothing. And they used whatever they had. I think about the days when people used saws and things as instruments.
And
you know,
washboards.
Oil cans. Washboards.
Yeah.
I mean, we still use some of this stuff now. We'll
yeah.
grab anything. We'll bang on a chair if it's got a nice sound or railing. It's got a certain tone to it. You see? So we use whatever we have. And now with the herbs that we get from all over the world and, you know, subconscious balancing and meditation and, you know, there's great lectures going on and comedy and it's a wonderful time. It's an incredible time. But there is a storm going on, but there's the eye of the storm, too. You know, so where are you? Are you in the eye? I am. Who are you? This is the question. Who are you really? You know, are you going to let people make you mad? Because they're running the show if they can make you mad. You know, people tell me, he made me mad, Dr. B. Wow, he's got a lot of power. He can do this. I'm really mad at this guy, McCain, or whoever. What did he do to you? Well, he's going to such a... You don't know what the guy is going to do, first of all. You don't even know him, okay? I don't even know if he exists. This guy could be a puppet. Could be some clone. I don't know. What about my home? What about my children? Do I know where my children are? Do I know what my children are watching on television? Do I know what they're eating when they're at school? Do I really want them in school? Why would I send my child to school? This is the questions we start asking ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, should I talk on this cell phone or should I at least use a headpiece? And like, you know, today I took my phone over to the Apple store and I was having some trouble. and they gave me a new phone, and they tried to sell me a Bluetooth, you know, thing. And I said, I don't want one. They said, you got to have one, man. This is the thing. You got to have a headphone. I said, I want the old-fashioned wire. Oh, no, that's dangerous. I said, well, you know, you're talking to an engineer. Please be careful. Don't just try to sell me. Tell me why the Bluetooth is better than the wire. Well, it's more convenient. I said, yeah, but it uses my head as the antenna. My head right into my ear. What is the why do they call it the Bluetooth? What is this technology that I have to have?
Tell that to the cyst that grows on your face.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, so, there are enough accounts of that. Yeah,
exactly.
People will say anything for the almighty dollar, you know.
Exactly.
And I'm an Apple proponent. You know, I'm a Mac user like you, and they make great products. They're the PC lover's dream for a computer. I say that, and so there are a lot of good things. But this rage about you got to have this and you got to have this because it's the thing. Well, we should be determining what the thing is.
Yeah,
like you say. Doc, we're out of time. This has been very enlightening and interesting as usual. We gotta let our engineer head for home. So I want to thank you for being on the show. Let our listening audience know that they can visit your website at elevationtime.com, and I encourage everybody to do that. Really, you trip out just on all the different things there are there to look at and to consider. And you're available for, I'm sure, for phone consultations.
Yes.
Although you encourage people, if they're in the Los Angeles area, to make an appointment and stop in and see you.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Take care of business the right way. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and I look forward to the next visit that you pay on the 27th.
Well, I can't wait to get back on the show, and you travel light, and all of you out there, travel light, stay focused, and remember to remember something about your true self. Peace, love, and harmony.
Amen. And I'm gonna get out there one Thursday night and jam with you guys.
That would be great.
You'll allow me to do that.
Oh, I will. I'll make sure it happens.
And I'll limit the number of notes I play.
You can play as many as you want, as long as they've got soul.
Oh, okay. All right. You're on.
Okay.
All right. You have a great rest of the week, Doc, and we'll talk to you soon. I'll be talking to you in the next day or so anyway.
That'd be great.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Our special guest, Dr. B, will be back with us again on the 27th of October, so be sure to come back and see us. In the meantime, I want to thank Donald Newsom for making this show possible and Seth Hendrick for the great sound tonight. And to you out there in the listening audience, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.